kids, let's travel the world together. She can make it easy and in any kind of weather. No TSA, no bag checks, no patting down. She's talking from the skies and sending lots of feel-good sounds. Oh, Betty in the sky, have you heard her yet? She loves traveling, there's no doubt. Betty and the Jets. She's weird and wonderful. Oh, Betty, she's a podcast queen. She's wearing high heel shoes, got her wings on too. You know I've never seen a better stew. Oh, Betty and the Jets.
Hello and welcome to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Betty. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the airplane, from the flight attendants and the pilots, and from traveling around the world. In this episode, we have stories about bunnies, frogs, Jersey Shore guys on the airplane, some hotel ghosts, and what to do when you have to fart while working on the beverage cart. Let's get on with the show. I was in the crew van recently going to London, and, you know, we've been up all night. Everybody's starting to get a little punchy. I started telling stories. Go figure. I started talking about some crazy flight attendants, and this pilot chimed in and said, oh, there was this one flight attendant. It was a long time ago, but this is back when Beanie Babies were popular, you know, the little tiny stuffed animals. People collected them, thought they were going to be worth money. Yeah, that worked out really well. I know all those people that made a fortune on their Beanie Baby collections. But this flight attendant had all these Beanie Baby bunnies. So they were bunny rabbit Beanie Babies. And she would put them around the plane, you know, kind of decorating the plane with Beanie Baby bunny rabbits, and she said they were her friends and they made her feel better, and the passengers liked them, she said, and they all thought, you know, it's a little strange, but, you know, seen worse. And then they were laying over in Amsterdam, and she came down for happy hour in a bunny suit, a full-on feet, ears, bunny costume.
During my probation, my first 6 months in. So
it's a scary time.
It is. Yeah, and I was doing my first transcon between L.A. and New York. So flew over to New York, and then laid over for 9 hours, and then we're going back. And I was at door 2 on the 7-5, and we had probably say about 4 or 5 guys from the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Right?
You mean, you're talking about the TV show or just from the shore?
Guys from the shore, yeah. And these guys were great. I mean, they're asking me for tequila shots all the time. Say, hey, give me some tequila, right? It goes, hey, you got any gin and tonic? And I was just giving them everything, and they were trying to tip me. I said, yeah, we don't accept tips, you know, everything like that. But these guys, you know, they really wanted to show their appreciation to me. Well, when we get down to LA, we're still taxiing to the gate. And this couple, you know, their economy decides to get up and start getting their stuff.
Yeah.
So I say, we're still taxiing. Can you please sit down? A, open up the overhead bin. And I say, we're still on an active taxiway. We're going to need you to sit down. They start walking towards me.
Yeah.
So I unbuckle my harness, and I go walking towards them, meet them in the middle, and I say, we're still taxiing. Put your stuff away. Sit down. And one of the Jersey guys behind me says, hey, you let me out, I'll bust their heads.
I got a trip to Milan, Italy. I don't get to go there very often, and wasn't that familiar with the hotel. And I got to my room, and there was no coffee maker. Like almost all the places we stay have a coffee. It's usually just a hot water pot and instant coffee. But, you know, when you're doing strange trips, when you're in strange time zones, and, you know, you're only going to take a couple hour nap, and then you want to get out there and go see the city, I really like to have my coffee. there was no coffee maker, and the refrigerator was really small, and I literally had to just smack myself, like smack, smack, shame, shame, shame on you. How can you be complaining? You're in Milan, so there's no coffee maker. You know, get over it. So what I did, it's the most pathetic coffee you can ever possibly imagine. I carry instant coffee with me just in case there isn't coffee in the room, but there's a coffee pot. And I just ran the hot tap water. You know, it doesn't really get very hot, but I tried to make the instant coffee in the tap water. And, you know, it's just, it's really poor man's coffee. It's just almost not drinkable. But I really, you have to work sometimes to not get jaded. And I bet the rich have a real issue with this, you know, on a much grander scale. Because, you know, how dare I complain there's no coffee maker in the room when I'm in Milan, you spoiled, spoiled girl.
Regular position with this Mandarin new hired Mandarin speaker. I was working facing forward, and you know, and then so out of the blue, we were serving in the middle of the cabin. The stinky smell of fart came out. All the passengers around were like, "Fart! You know what the heck is that?" And then I was like, "God!" I put on my hand and said, "God, what the heck?" And then she was looking at me like, "And what?" And she would say with the accent, "What?" And she started to look at the passengers, "What? Don't you release gases? Don't you release gases? This is a physiological thing, all right? Don't you release gases?" And I was looking in her face and I was like, "No, I don't believe you did that. You assumed that was you," and she's, "It's a physiological thing."
So was her?
It was her. I went to the back of the galley, cracking myself. I was laughing for a couple minutes in the back, you know, looking at her face. Whoa! Don't you release gases? Don't you release?
Okay, so when you have to fart on the cart, I like that it rhymes. Do you just let it go like the little Asian girl, or what do?
No, I just suffer. I keep it in.
I think that's quite normal. So you suffer?
I do. I suffer. I hold it in, and then I end up burping, and then it just smells like Listerine.
So I'm setting up in the back of the 7-6. I think everybody's going to Munich. And I'm trying to be respectful. So everyone's at the border's out. The other person's helping the aisle, and I thought I could sneak one out.
Yes.
I sharted.
Nothing better than a snort.
Stop. So I'm on a domestic NBADA trip, and I'm flying the A. So I'm sitting on the front jump seat, and they're down back doing their service, the girls, and there's this, I'm not going to say her name, but you all know her, but she was on this domestic, happened to be on this domestic trip, and she's real sweet and everything. Well, I thought I had freedom to go, and I burned a hole through the jump seat. I farted so bad. I mean, you could see it hanging in the air. And next thing I know, she comes around the corner and sits down in the jump seat next to me, and I was like, "Oh." And all of a sudden, I see her eyes get big, and she puts her finger on her nose. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should just fess up or say, "Don't come over here." And every time I see her,
She just put one finger?
She just went like this, put one finger on the side of her nose. She's like, "So what's going on?"
"Hey, lady, why you looking so sad? Did he promise you the moon?
So I get home from Milan. You know, it's a long day. I'm tired, but I get here after commuting home, and first thing I usually do is water the plants because they're parched because it's the summer and it's hot. So I get out there and water the plants, and I'm about to start making dinner, and I go to pick up my dish towel, and a 3-inch frog jumps out, and I was like, "Whoa!" I mean, literally, it's the last thing. I wasn't expecting my dish towel to have a creature in it. I mean, it wasn't a small frog. It was like a 3-inch frog. You know, after I calmed down a little bit, because, you know, I'm not afraid of frogs. It's just you're not expecting your dish towel to be alive. So then, now I switch gears, and now I'm worried about the frog. And I'm thinking, "Oh, I'm so tired. How long is it going to take me to catch the frog to get him outside? You know, I just can't let him hang around inside." And also, my complex, they spray for for bugs, you know. So if he stays in there, he's probably going to die because he'll eat whatever the, they call them palmetto bugs, but they're roaches, whatever they eat, and they get on their backs and die. The poor frog will die too. So I'm like, okay. And so I start saying, hey, Mr. Frog, it's okay, Mr. Frog. I just came home from Milan and I'm singing to a frog, but I want him to be calm. I know it probably doesn't work. Maybe it was for me too, but I didn't want him to freak out. I didn't want him to have a heart attack. I like frogs. You know, I like wildlife. So I'm like, hey, Mr. Frog, I'm going to try to take you outside, Mr. Frog. And so he could tell his heart's pounding. Literally, you can really tell. Geckos do. You can tell when they're like, so he jumps up on my paper towel holder, which then is like a moving log, and it flings him back down on the counter. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to have a heart attack. It's like a frog obstacle course in my kitchen. So then he jumps on my cappuccino machine, and he's not going any further. So, okay, I got a spatula, and I got a bucket. I'm going to try to get him to go in the bucket so I can run him outside. I can get back to making dinner. And I'm again going, hey, Mr. Frog. It's okay, Mr. Frog. I know it's ridiculous. I had watched something on television in Europe. I don't know if it was on that particular trip, but there was a guy who was trying to spend time with lions in Africa, and he had this theory, and he had this big stick, but he didn't have a gun or anything, and he'd go up and go, nice lion. Nice lion. I swear that's what he was doing. So now I'm trying this theory on my frog in my kitchen. Hey, Mr. Frog. Nice little frog. I was trying not to hurt him or scare him too bad, so I didn't want to nudge him too much with the spatula. But after a while, I mean, I was like, after like 20 minutes, I'm like, hey, Mr. Frog. Nice little frog. Finally, I did kind of scoot him with the spatula, and he was scared. Of course, he jumped into the bucket. I got him outside, and at the end, I'm thinking, oh, thank God, the poor frog's okay. It's like a little drama, and, you know, the last thing I was expecting coming home from a trip, that I'd have to be singing to a frog.
How would he ever get that far? Okay. It's my fiancé that was in Amsterdam, and... the hotel over there is haunted, and
so it's haunted.
Yeah, it is haunted. And then he woke up at the middle of the night with this smell in the room. It was like very, like a death body smell. And he was like, "What the heck is this?" He turned on the light and started to pray because he knew the fame of the hotel to be haunted.
Actually, I didn't know that people said it was haunted. I saw you over there all the time.
Actually, no, it's haunted.
It's haunted.
It's a part of the hotel because it was a mental hospital in the past.
Yeah.
It was a mental hospital, so a lot of people die and crazy ones die there. So.
And now the flight didn't stay there. The crazy flight didn't.
Crazy flight didn't. A couple ones died there too. But anyway, so, and then he started to pray because he is like me.
He started to pray.
He started to pray because he is like me. He's very scared of this shit. Oops.
That's all right.
And then, yes, the smell was gone. And
After he prayed.
And then after the blue was a knock in all doors in the room. It was like, pa, pa, pa. In each door of the room, it was somebody like knocking.
At the same time?
No. It was like around the room, go around the room. And he was get even more scared about that. And pray again.
Is he like on his knees praying?
No, he was praying with his, he didn't even dare to open his eyes, I believe, you know. So in São Paulo, they're shortly over there.
So wait, that hotel's haunted too? These are a lot of haunted hotels.
It's just one room.
One room.
1034, if I'm not wrong. Nobody wants to stay in this room. So this girl, this Brazilian girl, she was in the room, and then she said that she was between sleeping and wake, that thing. And then what happened is she felt the presence of somebody there. And she woke up, have this guy there.
There's a guy?
Have a guy in there. And then...
In the room?
In the room. And just she got scared and she noticed that it was not a person, it was a ghost. It was very, very intense, very intense. And then she got scared. She started to pray too. But she was praying my very serious, you know, for his soul and stuff. And then he came and he opened his and has a knife in his belly. It was awful. So she went down there. She left the room. She said, "I'm not gonna sleep here." She left the room and she went down to the lobby and say, "I need another room." And you guys know why I need another room, yes? So the guy in the front desk just did like, okay, I'll give another room without asking. And then in another situation, she came and asked, what's going on in the room 1034? I'm never going to be in this room. I always be careful. 1034. It's a guy who was killed there with a knife. So, yeah.
Because normally if you go down like to the hotel and say, there's a guy with a knife in my room, you might think you're a little crazy. Yeah. And I want to thank you guys who went to my website, BettyInTheSky.com, when you were going to buy something on Amazon. The highlights for things that people bought last month was a zombie hunter permit decal, a portrait of Hollywood in the 40s, it's interesting, and a book called Tokyo on Foot, Travel in the City's Most Colorful Neighborhoods. And that was striking my interest because I think next month I am going to go to Japan to see the snow monkeys. They're Japanese macaques. You guys know I'm a sucker for monkeys. I like me some monkeys. They're just so cute. And I love the pictures. Lots of times, whenever there's wildlife photos, there's pictures of the snow monkeys because they have those red faces and white fur. And they live in a really cold climate, and they warm themselves in those natural hot tubs. It's just so interesting to see pictures of monkeys and hot tubs. So I want to see it for myself. And then there's a listener. I'm sorry, but it's so many... years ago, they sent me a clip. People send me things and kind of file it away for later. And when I was thinking about these snow monkeys, I was thinking, remember that listener sent me an article about there's a bar in Japan. I have to look up where it is. I'll find it, though, where they have monkey waiters. And the monkeys bring you hot towels. They bring you drinks. They're only allowed to work 2 hours a day. And you tip them in beans. I read a little bit about it. And the owners, I think they were just pets. And they had a bar. And they saw the people giving the customers hot towels and drinks. And they were just sort of mimicking them. And then people started giving them food. So that kind of, reinforced the behavior. And now they wear little waiter outfits. And they bring you drinks. I got to see that. But I also want to do a quick update on the Amazon ads. Amazon has changed all their links, so there will be links on my old, if you're going through the back archive, so you're looking at old episodes, there will be Amazon links that don't work, and they'll say they don't work. I can't figure out a way to get back in there. There's very limited thing I can do with the HTML. I can't figure out how to get back to the old episodes and change those Amazon ads. But the current, my website, BettyInTheSky.com, has all the current links. And if you want to go there, you can just bookmark it so you don't have to go to my website anytime you want to buy something. And if you do, it supports the show and I really appreciate it. Thanks. I just did a little more research on the snow monkeys in Japan, and I've read some things where it's not really an authentic experience. They lure them to the hot tubs with food, so it's more like a zoo. I haven't ruled it out, but now I don't know if I'm that excited about it, so I might go somewhere else. Maybe Portugal. I don't know. I'll keep you updated, but I'm going to go somewhere in September. Lift you up, never let you down.
No, wanna fly with you. While I was on the card,
working the beverage service, and a gentleman right next to me appeared to be choking. He was choking a little bit, and he tried to get my attention. And when he got his attention, he swung his arm, and when he swung his arm, he hit me right in the private parts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And when he did that, I was like, well, I'd love to help you, but I really can't help you anymore now. Sorry about that. I'm incapacitated.
So this is actually very rare. I hadn't seen it in years until this last trip, but I was sitting on my jump seat, and there was another guy, flight attendant, sitting next to me on his jump seat, and another girl, her jump seat was across from us. She was just standing there talking, and, you know, we're already strapped in and everything, and I was kind of thinking to myself, you know, she needs to sit down, but I also, you know, you also really don't want to police your fellow flight attendants. You know, she's not a passenger. She knows she's been flying for a long time, and I thought, well, you know, maybe, you know, she's going to sit here quickly. So then she goes and moves, and I'm thinking, okay, she's going to go sit down. But instead, she goes into the lavatory, and me and the guy are kind of looking at each other thinking, well, maybe she really has to go. You know, there are emergencies. You know, I don't know. And next thing you know, here we go, starting to take off, and she's in the lab, and we were both looking at each other, me and the guy flight attendant. We're thinking, we could basically feel the wheels in her head turning. You know, do I come out and hurry up and try to sit down? Do I just stay in here? What do I do? I hadn't seen somebody not be in their jump seat, a flight attendant, in years. The last time I had it happen, gosh, it was probably 5-6 years ago. We were all standing in the galley one time, and this real Southern girl said, I hate to tell y'all. She says it so slow. You know, there are times when you can talk faster, even if you're from the South, when something happens. She's like, I hate to tell y'all, but we're about to take off. And we had to all, like, sprint. We all, like, went running, dashing to our seats. Well, so here she is in the bathroom. So finally she comes out. The passengers actually, we were like, our jump seats were sort of in a cross aisle. So the passengers really didn't see. So it's fine. You know, nobody was hurt. It's all fine. But we were laughing about it on the way home from Europe because we were saying, gosh, that hasn't happened for so long. And it's also weird how you can sense somebody's wheels turning in their head. Like, what do I do? What do I do? So we're standing in the back galley. My seats in the back galley, and the other guy's seats in his back galley, and then the guy who I'd been sitting next to, and we were all three laughing about this girl who had taken off in the lavatory on the way over to Europe. And we're talking about something else, and next thing you know, all of a sudden, we're about to take off, and the guy who we had been laughing at her, his seat is all the way like 20 rows up at the three doors, and his eyes got wide, his mouth dropped open, and he ran like the Energizer Bunny. Like, I can't believe how fast he sprinted to that seat. And we were laughing so hard because what are the chances that it happens on the way over? We're laughing at her, and it happens to him on the way back. So I got an email from a listener named Beth, and she said that she works in radio, and when our reporters are out in the field and can't get back to the studio, they will often record underneath a blanket in the bathroom of their hotel room. So I'm actually trying this. I'm still in my closet, but I decided to go with a beach towel. So I've got a beach towel over my head, and I don't know if you can tell the difference in the audio, but I will say, I do think it'd get a little hot.
They needed a crew to deadhead down to Ghana. So last night we were there, we're like, all right, well, let's go out. Like, you know, so there's six of us that go out from the hotel we call the cabs. And so two cabs come, there's six of us. And we go to their version of downtown, which was basically a bunch of sheds. So we find this place where...
Did you say basically a bunch of sheds?
Yes. So we go in this building and there's this rooftop bar, you know, second floor. Yeah. You know, surprised the building still stood, but, you know. So we go up there, have a few drinks, you know. And, you know, everybody's kind of ready to just go back to the hotel. Cause, you know, it's a crowd. Like, who knows, you know, we're going to get kidnapped, or, you know.
Yeah.
So we go downstairs, and the streets there, they're basically, you know, they're dirt. And so we see a cab. So I go and flag him down, you know, because, you know, a bunch of girls with us.
Right.
It doesn't mean just one other guy. So I flagged down this cab, which was, I mean, it was like a Mazda Miata, basically. You know, that gives you, you know, the impression of how small it was. So I'm trying to tell the guy, hey, there's six of us, point of the group, you know, call one of your friends
for two cabs.
And he's like, no, just get in. And I was like, no, there's six of us. We're not children. Like, we're not going to fit. He's like, no, just get in. I'm like, all right. So
it's like how many people you can fit in a Volkswagen.
Right. So, you know, he's in the driver's seat. So in the passenger seat up front, there's one of the guys and one of the girls sitting on his lap.
Right.
So then I get back right behind the driver's seat and two girls sit next to me. And one girl is basically sitting, you know, laying across the three of us in the back. So as I'm getting ready to close the door, I look outside and, like, the car's basically, you know, it's so low. Yeah, it's basically dragging. You can kind of feel that. So we're about halfway back to the hotel, and we're on the main highway back there. So I look up, and there's these, like, two armored vehicles. I'm like, what the heck's going on? It was, you know, the Ghana, the military in Ghana, there's these, you know, roadblocks where they pull people over and they do checks and stuff. And I always remember, we got pulled over, and there was five of these guys with these, you know, machine guns, basically.
But is it the police, or is it bad guys?
It's like the military.
Okay.
But, I mean, the police are bad guys. You know, there's
sure,
no
defense. Sure.
No, it doesn't matter. So I remember one of the guys, he looked in, you know, with his machine gun, and he's, like, looking, you know, scanning the entire vehicle, and then he looks at us, and I remember the exact words that he say. He goes, "You are overloaded. Get out." I'm like, oh, shit. Like, we knew we were screwed at that point. And, you know, at this point, I'm thinking, like, does anybody have the number to the embassy? Because, I mean, these guys are going to shoot us or something. And so we're sitting there lined up, we're next to each other. So we wait there 5 minutes, and we see the two guys still talking in the cab, and we're like, you know, thinking, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, we see the cab driver hand these guys a bunch of money.
Oh.
And all of a sudden is, okay, you're fine, you can get back in.
You had to get back in the overloaded Miata?
Yes, back in the overloaded Miata, because, you know, paid off the army guys, you know. But at least, hey, we weren't getting shot.
You are overloaded.
Yeah, we were definitely overloaded.
So I was working on the airplane yesterday and came across a girl on the beverage cart, and she had an eye mask on, and her eye mask said, "I sleep with strangers." So I did a double take. The girl in the cart with me did a double take. And then there's like a little picture of a plane. And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess, you know, you do sleep with strangers on a plane. So we were still on that van going to London. It's a long drive. It's rush hour traffic in the morning. And we were talking about the strange flight attendants and pilots. And this captain chimed in and he goes, do you guys know Captain Yo-Yo? I'm like, Captain Yo-Yo? My ears perked up like you wouldn't believe. I'm like, ooh, this is something new. I don't know anything about Captain Yo-Yo. He goes, yeah, there's this captain, and he carries around two yo-yos, like, on his layovers, and he has a harness, and he climbs trees on his layovers, and like, he comes down, like, if they go to happy hour or something, and he has two yo-yos strapped on his belt. And this guy said to him, because they all thought it was strange. Now, granted, he's a good pilot, but, you know, like, his yo-yos. So they were like, I don't know his actual name. They were just calling him Captain Yo-Yo. They were like, what, you know, what are the yo-yos for? And he goes, oh, it's, you know, to impress the ladies. And this pilot said, well, how many 12-year-old girls are on your crew?
All I ever imagined was a chance to see you.
Okay, so I think were you working, like, first class?
On a domestic trip, yes. Okay. And we were doing pre-boarding, so we were doing the pre-departure beverages. And this really nice-looking couple came on. This gentleman looked like he was, you know, from Abercrombie & Fitch.
Oh, yeah.
Really beautiful striped sweater. And then the lady traveling with him was very well-dressed. And I came up and asked him what they wanted to drink. And he asked what kind of gin I said, and it wasn't a brand that he liked. So he goes, no thanks. He goes, I don't drink that. And I said, well, can I get something else that you like? And he says, I doubt that. And I started to walk away, and I turned around, and I looked at him, and I go, has anyone told you that you have a chip on your shoulder?
Really?
And he goes, I beg your pardon? And I had just noticed out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, I'm going to run to this, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. And I said, you've got a real chip on your shoulder. I said, I don't believe no one's told you. And he goes, and he was just ready to just, like,
hit you.
Just, yes, just about, I think. And I reached over, and he had been eating potato chips, and there was a small crumb.
There was a chip on his shoulder.
And I said, you have a potato chip on your shoulder. And I said, I can't believe no one's told you. And he goes, oh, thank you. And I said, and I started to walk away, and I turned back around, and I go, did you think I meant something else?
That could never happen again.
Never,
years.
Never.
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 And here is a little audio clip that I got from a listener named Nadia in South Korea.
Happy 10th podcasting birthday, Betty in the Sky with the Suitcase.
Well, that was a surprise to me. You know what? She's right. I think it has been 10 years. I guess it is my 10-year podcasting anniversary. I'm glad Nadia was paying attention. I've been saying 9 years, but, you know, I don't really ever notice when, you know, the year turns over. But yeah, 10 years. Who would have thought? 10 years of podcasting. Podcasting still seems relatively new to me. A lot of people still, I still have to explain to some people, you know, it's like a radio show on the internet. People listen on their iPods. I do. That's what I say to people still after 10 years. But I also was thinking when Nadia reminded me it's 10 years of podcasting, when I made my first episode, I did think to myself, I remember finishing the first episode, and I still in contact with Joe Dion, and I remember going to bed that night thinking, you know, that felt good. Making that podcast, completing it, you know, it's like a creative outlet. I remember thinking, I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen to this. But I liked it. And, you know, I've always had a sort of creative outlet. Before this, I did. I had a mosaic tile business where I made flower pots and picture frames and tables. And then after that, I did I used to go around to yard sales in L.A. and buy, like, vintage items and sell it on eBay. I always had to have like some little creative outlet. And this one, you know, sort of took. And I just want to thank all of you because, you know, I guess if I had been doing this after like 3 years of putting podcasts out there and nobody listened to it, I don't think I would have made it to 10 years. So thank you very much. And I don't know if we'll have another 10 years, but we'll see.
So I can never those stars that I promised you without you somewhere in my
This is the second little segment I'm trying in my closet with the beach towel over my head, and I have to say I think maybe it does sound better. This might be a new thing, except for I thought it was weird that I recorded the podcast in the closet. Now I'll be in the closet with a beach towel over my head. Anyway, I was flying with this very cute flight attendant. She's been flying a long time, but she's like full of energy. Actually, I don't know if I told you guys, but I made that top 10 podcast of all times in this British newspaper. It was very exciting. This couple months ago, I was thrilled, made my day, and who would I ever thought? Anyway, they called me Sprightly. Which I'd never really heard before. I looked up, and actually, this other flight attendant, I think you could definitely call her Sprightly, but she had this laugh, this contagious, loud, ridiculously funny laugh, and I recorded it. So we would be on the beverage cart, and who knows what, I'd be on the other side of the plane. So she'd be on the beverage cart on the other aisle, and I'd be on the other side, and who knows what the passenger said or what the other flight attendant said, but we would just hear this.
Ha, 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 ha,
And we laughed so much on that trip because all you have to do is hear that laugh and you can't help it. You have to laugh. So I was excited I could record it. And then it'd be like, oh, this was the same trip where the guy said,
And she started to look at the passengers. Wow. Don't you release gases? Don't you release gases? That's a physiological thing, all right? Don't you release gases?
Wanna lift you up, never let you down. No, wanna fly with you high into the sky.
So earlier when I was singing to my frog, hey Mr. Frog, nice Mr. Frog, I thought to myself when I listened to the podcast clip back, I was like, hey, I wonder why I assumed it was a mister, you know? Well, I'm sure they're girl frogs, but to me, I think frogs just look like men. Well, anyway, that's about it for this episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. It's 10 years. Thank you so much. And hope you'll join me again next time so we can travel around the world together. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, kids, when you fly together, she'll tell you where she's been and tell you where she's going. Some fun, so why not come along? Seat belts are fastened for takeoff and the signal is strong. Oh, Betty in the sky, have you heard her yet? She loves traveling, there's no doubt. Betty and the Jets. Oh, she's weird and wonderful. Oh, Betty, she's a podcast queen.